So our text for this Reformation Sunday is from Romans chapter 3, these words, "For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, but what does it mean? What does it mean to be justified? What does it mean to be justified? To be justified means to be deemed to be right, to be good, to be acceptable. What we say, what we do. How can you justify spending so much money on that thing? We might have heard sometime in our lives from someone we loved. How can you justify saying what you just said to me? Perhaps we've also heard. Or how about, how can you justify your promotion on the basis of your performance? In all three instances, to justify ourselves, we'd have to explain why we thought it was right, why it was right to spend, why it was right to speak, why it was right to ask. Good teacher, Jesus was once asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what must I do to justify myself before God, that I'm worthy enough to be welcomed into heaven when I die? Jesus responded, our Savior responded to that man, you know the commandments. I've kept them my entire life, was the man's response. But that response was not completely true, and it was not completely true, for the man was wealthy and had put his faith and hope and trust in his wealth, thus breaking the first commandment. And so when challenged by Jesus to rid himself of his wealth and follow him, the man left. And the man left because he could not justify himself before his Father in heaven. That is, be deemed to be right and good and just by living constantly according to the Ten Commandments, because he had not done so. So what was that man going to do? What was he going to do if he could not follow the Ten Commandments completely and wholly, continually and constantly? How could that man justify himself before our Father in heaven when he died? Now that conundrum of the rich young man who asked that question of Jesus, was the same conundrum of the monk Martin Luther some 1,500 years later. For Luther, too, wanted to be able to justify himself before God, that is, to be able to demonstrate and prove and show that he was worthy of entering eternal life upon his death by following the Ten Commandments. And unlike the rich young ruler, Luther did not walk away from Jesus when questioned about his earthly possessions. Instead, Luther had given them all up. He'd sold all of his earthly possessions and entered a monastery to walk toward Jesus, to follow Jesus by following his commandments. And this made sense. For since God was holy, shouldn't Luther be holy? That is, perfect and sinless, in order to stand in the presence of God, shouldn't Luther be like God to be with God? I mean, that's the way we are, isn't it, when it comes to the people around us? I mean, don't we feel uncomfortable or awkward or unworthy to stand in the presence of someone who is so much more talented than we are, so much more gifted, so much more intelligent, so much more accomplished? We do, don't we? We do. So we have a circle of friends around us that are, well, pretty much like us, and we feel comfortable around such friends because neither they nor we are greater or lesser when it comes to the things of this world. We have, we could say, a type of unspoken equality, and we understand this. Such a way we're justified in our friendship with them and they with us. So understanding this, it makes sense when it comes to God that we should be justified before him by being like him, by thinking like God thinks and speaking like God speaks and acting like God acts. And we set about doing that, justifying ourselves before God by pursuing the way God is, the way it is described for us in the Ten Commandments. At least that's what Luther did. And it went well at first, Luther's zeal being somewhat overweighted in his mind as to its worth, but then the reality of his life set in. Try as he might, Luther couldn't live up to God. Luther could not do enough to make himself worthy of God. Luther could not do what should be done if he were a true friend of God. So what did Luther do? He despaired. And he even became angry, angry with God. Why? Because God expected too much. God's standards were too high. God's presence out of reach. For God's holiness, God's perfection, God's righteousness was too difficult to achieve. In other words, Luther discovered that there was no way, no way he could justify himself before God. That is, live in such a way in which all of his actions and his thoughts and his words that he spoke would be good and right and appropriate. So fast forward to today. Is man even trying to justify himself before God anymore? Is he even trying? Doesn't seem so. Why? Man's too busy. Busy with life. Busy with careers. Busy with family. Busy with hobbies. Busy with pursuits. And whatever time is not taken up with all of those things is sucked up with social media and Netflix and gaming, surfing the net. Who has time to worry about whether they can justify themselves before God? In fact, what seems to be more the question of the day is whether or not God can justify himself before man. That is, make himself appealing to us in some way so that man will deign to consider allowing God to hang out with him. Of course, this narcissistic attitude towards God on our part is just a farce. It's a ruse. It's an act. For deep down inside, every human being knows that it is God who is God and not man. And God who sets the bar, the standard, and not man. And that standard is still way, way, way too high. So why even try? What will be, will be. Heaven, hell, whatever, for what can even be done? Now, Luther's superiors in the monastery were seeing a similar type of fatalism developing in Luther, perhaps, and began to wonder what was to be done about Luther, who constantly was trying to justify himself before God and suffering in his failure. So what Luther's superiors did was force him to read the Bible. That is, they gave him a job in which he had to read the Bible and teach the Bible. And it's in the reading of the Bible that Luther finally discovered his justification. For Luther actually discovered that God himself justified Luther. That God himself makes man able to stand before him righteous and holy. And God does that is, justifies man, because God knows that man can't do it, that Luther couldn't do it, that the rich man that came before Jesus couldn't do it, and neither can you, and neither can I. None of us can. None of us can justify ourselves before God by what we say or do or think. It is therefore God who justifies us. God who makes it so that you and me can stand in his presence as his friends, that is, forgiven and holy. Now, how does that happen, our justification? Well, it happens through faith, through faith. What is faith? Faith is believing that what God has promised us concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, is true. And what has God promised us concerning his Son? That whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is, whoever believes in Jesus as our Savior from sin and death and the devil is immediately justified before our Father in heaven, and can live each day, each moment, without the fear and dread of not being justified, or live in some sort of fatalistic malaise, thinking that there is nothing that can be done. We hold that one is justified by faith apart from the law. That's what our text says. And that explains what it means when Scripture says, but now the righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For all are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, who God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. That key discovery in Luther's part, that man does not justify himself before God, but that God justifies man so that he can stand before Him, is what caused the reformation of the church in the 16th century. As our new banner puts it, also quoting Scripture, the just shall live by faith. Is this odd or strange? Well, it is interesting, isn't it, that our relationship with other people around us kind of works in exactly the same way. If we speak to a friend, say something to a friend, something important, and they don't believe us, they don't believe what we say to them, that can cause a bit of a rift. And if little or nothing we ever say to our friend is believed by them, they really cease to be our friend, even if they do all sorts of other things to appease us. And the even stranger thing is that if our friend believes what we say when we speak to them, we're more apt to overlook their mistakes, their missteps, and their faults. If we're honest with ourselves, I think we'd need to admit that this is true. But when it comes to our Father in heaven, there's even more going on there. Believing what He says to us in His Word about His Son, God does not simply overlook our sins because we believe that what He says is true. God goes farther and He credits us with the righteousness of His Son Jesus, declaring us to be holy, to have been given the righteousness of Christ, to have been covered by the robe of the righteousness of Christ. Having faith in what our Father in heaven has said to us causes God to justify us. In other words, God says to Himself, "This son, this daughter is holy and righteous before Me, because I have granted to them the holiness of Jesus Christ, My Son, crediting them with everything that He is." Now, Luther, the rest of his life could not stop talking about this, that man is justified before God through faith in Jesus Christ. Luther translated the Bible into German, a translation that became the basis for the King James Version in English, and is still the much-loved version in Germany today. Why? Luther wanted everyone to hear the gospel. And hearing the gospel, the free forgiveness of sins, live in peace with God, live in love, love for our neighbor that flows from that peace, and live in hope, hope for an everlasting life in which we stand before our Father in heaven, justified. Now, perhaps this morning, over the last few moments, you have discovered that you have been flirting with fatalism lately. That is, that it just doesn't matter, and that there's nothing that can be done when it comes to heaven and hell. Well, that's all nonsense. It does matter. There is something to be done. You can live a different life and live it now from this moment on, a life of peace and a life of love and a life of hope, which is nothing other than a life of faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord, in which you're justified. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the creed.